From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. My name is Dr. Nanette Funderburk, and I'm your psychotherapist. As always, I'm bringing him in today.
Hey, there it is, fellas. She's bringing me in. Look, I made it through Valentine's Day, guys. So she got me back on the air. There it is. So, of course, I'm the co-host, Keith Funderburk. And, of course, Dr. Funderburk, I give you a theme name every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I want you to call me Brother Roe.
Brother Roe.
Yep.
Okay, so last week you were Bro Cupid.
Cupid, that's right. And look, I'm still kind of sore on my leg because I shot myself in the leg.
That's right. With the Cupid's arrow.
But the Cupid's arrows, you know, yeah, I was busy all week. I was shooting arrows to people, man.
You were shooting arrows to people. Yeah, didn't we talk about this?
Look, I mean, they were falling in love with after I shot those arrows.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so what's Brother Roe about?
Today is going to be Brother Roe.
Mm-hmm.
R O.
Mm-hmm.
That's the short name, but of course. The longer name is going to, you know, it's aerobic exercise.
Aerobic.
Yeah.
Aerobic. I got you. So you go by your middle name, Brother Roe? Aerobic. I love it. That is a perfect segue. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that is. See, I'm trying to hook it up. Fellas, I got to get it post-Valentine's Day. There it is.
So our guest today is Dr. Mary Branch. She is a cardiologist with a special interest in cancer patients with Cone Hospital. And I'm sure she is like, yes, we need all of this aerobic exercise for our heart health. So, Dr. Branch, how are you living?
I'm doing great. Just hoping for some warm weather, but I'm good.
Oh,
I'm
good. I know. Mm-hmm. I'd like snow, but hey.
Look, but you never know. Look, they calling for some snow later this week, so we'll see later this week.
All right. So we have Dr. Branch with us, number one, because, you know, this is Heart Health Month.
Yes,
and we need to be aware of, especially, I think, us as African-Americans, people of color in general, we need to kind of pay attention to our heart health.
Yeah.
So that's why we have Dr. Branch here with us today. So, Dr. Branch, can you talk about the overall state of heart health in our communities and in the U.S. today?
Sure. So, you know, unfortunately, cardiovascular disease is, you know, one of the number one killers, if not the number one killer in most demographics in the country. So it's still, there's a still high burden of disease. And so we still have a lot of room to go as it relates to trying to mitigate that and reduce our kind of morbidity and mortality as it relates to cardiovascular disease.
Goodness gracious, number one killer in most demographics. So that says to me, any way you slice the pie of our population, a cardiac issue is the thing that could potentially take people out. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot.
The number one killer.
That's a lot to digest. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so Dr. Branch, so help me understand then. For those that are listening, you might be thinking, okay, so how do I know I'm having a heart attack? Are there some physical signs, mental signs? What is it that you see in your patients as some of the telltale signs?
Yeah, and this could be a little bit challenging because a lot of the studies they did were in male veterans, and so there was this sort of typical chest pain that they identified as associated with a heart attack, but it can vary depending on different scenarios. So women, sometimes we present a little bit differently, or people who have diabetes, they also present a little bit differently. So the kind of typical is you're having sort of this, what we call acute or sudden onset of a chest pressure, like an elephant sitting on your chest. typically when you're doing physical activity. So if you're mowing the lawn or shoveling the snow, or, you know, especially if you haven't really been active, all of a sudden you're very active and you feel this sort of pressure, the shortness of breath, those can be signs that you may be having a heart attack, or having signs of coronary blockage that could potentially get worse. So for women, you know, we can kind of see the spectrum. It can be similar to these symptoms or just shortness of breath by itself. We can also see some folks will have indigestion that just doesn't go away. They may take like a Zantac or Tums and it's still just kind of persistently there. That might be another sign, what we call their anginal kind of equivalent. So it can be challenging. I would say, you know, if you have risk factors, if you're a very heavy smoker, or if your parents both passed away at, you know, or had a massive heart attack at the age of 50, those might be some signs that, you know, if you have those risk factors, that, you know, it may be more likely that you could have be having a heart attack, or at least plaque in your coronary arteries.
Wow, that's so amazing. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we're talking here at ANT, you know, so we got a very young population. But just because you're in your 30s or 40s, does that make us, you know, well, okay, I ain't gonna handle a heart attack at 35 or 40. What do you think?
Yeah, so this is really, really important. There's really interesting things on social media that talk about this. They say, you know, your heart attack at 50 started at 30. Meaning, you know, your habits in your 20s and 30s, it's really, really important to now establish healthy habits. So establish a routine of physical activity while you're young, while it's easy for you to, you know, incorporate it in your schedules. You have class, but you're only going to get busier. In college, you think you're the busiest ever, but you're going to get busier. You're going to have a family, all these things. You're going to have your jobs and working late and everything. So starting young while you're in school to just, you know, most days of the week, you're doing some cardio, you're doing some cardio exercise, you're doing weightlifting, and you're making sure that you're being mindful about what you're eating. If you establish those habits throughout your 20s and 30s, then, you know, you're on track to, you know, when you're getting your 30s, 40s, and 50s, you continue those consistent good habits, then you're preventing cardiovascular disease. Unless you have strong family history, there's some things we can't change if you have strong genetics for a heart attack. But for the most part, you can try to help prevent heart disease if you're maintaining healthy habits.
Man, so I guess I got to lay off them chitlins and, you know, well, pork rinds and all that, huh?
Well, it's all about habits. So every once in a while, you know, you're good. We're all human. I'm getting ready to go to Mexico, so I'm sure I'm not going to be on a heart-healthy diet. But when I get back, I have to get back on the scale. I have to get back to my routine and not, you know, try not to stay too long without getting back to those habits and that healthy routine.
I really love that statement. Your heart attack at 50 started at 30. I think that is really telling. And it's like, well, no, you really can't eat anything you want just because you're younger.
And we're seeing, you know, obesity rates in younger ages a lot higher than we did before. You know, back in the day, it was like that one kid that was a little bit overweight. Now it's like, you know, a lot of the kids that are, and you know, even if they're 18 years old, I'll see patients over 200 pounds, and they're already, you know, short of breath and things like that. So they could develop heart failure by 30.
Wow. See, look, hey, if I'm fat, Albert,
we have patients.
You know, oh my goodness.
It's just I was doing a little cartoon break here, but you know, but the reality though is when we think about our young people, our kids. You know, they are obese. You know, we were talking before the show, and I remember back in the day, mama would tell me, boy, go out somewhere, change them clothes, you know, take off your school clothes, and then you put on your play clothes, and then you just go outside. But today, kids, man, they might stay inside and stay in their room and play on their, you know, some type of game or what have you.
Right. It's tough. I mean, because, you know, nowadays there is a lot of, you know, you worry about your kids going out and
safety.
There's a lot of dangers. And yeah, I think we either didn't know about it back then or they didn't really think about it. And so it was a lot easier. But still, you know, you can go to your neighbor's house here. And I just think that kind of neighborly community is broken down a little bit, too. And that, you know, that also makes it challenging to have our kids go out and play. So I think all those things are just kind of contributing to people kind of being indoors, being more less physically active and kind of being near the kitchen. And so if you're constantly in close proximity, you're going to be eating more than you probably need to.
Wow. Again, you're listening to How You Live in a Show About Life with the Funderburks. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburk, and of course we've got our good friend, Dr. Mary Branch. She is a cardiologist, a sister. She's doing the darn thing. headed on to Mexico sometime later this year. Dr. Funderburk.
This week.
This week.
Tomorrow.
See, look, I'm just trying to go down to Shelby sometime. You know, she's going to Mexico.
Stress relief. That's heart healthy right there.
That's self-care. I like that.
Self-care. Exactly.
So quick question. So when you mentioned some of the habits that will contribute to some of these cardiac issues, you mentioned smoking. Does that include all types of smoking? It's cigarettes, it's marijuana, it's any other name that
like
it could vaping. Does that include all of that?
Yeah, for the most part, it includes cigarette smoking. Vaping is just not a great habit. You can get other issues with vaping. There's this sort of interstitial lung disease, so still not great for you. And then in terms of marijuana, you know, there's not really a strong association necessarily. And there may be some data out there where you see there may be a signal, but it's not a strong association with marijuana smoking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just wondering about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are there specific cultural things that you've noticed, especially within our community, the African-American communities, that seem to contribute to higher rates of heart disease for us? So things outside of just not going outside for our kids.
Right. Yeah.
Are there cultural factors that you think play a part for us?
I do. You know, one, our food, our diet from our culture. So, you know, our food came from when we were in slavery and we kind of took the food that was sort of left over and created a masterpiece out of it, certainly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that food is really not meant to be eaten every day. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Sundays, but really we should be really trying to hone in on just baked chicken, vegetables. Well seasoned, of course, but you know, focusing on that types of foods as opposed to the foods that are kind of comforting. You know, you really want to limit those to maybe just Sunday or something like that. Mm-hmm. Other things too, just as a, you know, speaking from a woman's perspective, is, you know, our hair. We have to assimilate, especially as you get in certain spaces, and it's very hard to try to assimilate and keep our hairstyle in a way that's acceptable, quote unquote. Especially now that we're not using relaxers as much as we used to, because we know that there are health hazards related to relaxing our hair. So that requires protective styles. It takes a lot of effort and things like that. So some women may just kind of limit their physical activity just because they don't want to get their hair wet. One, it's expensive, and two, you know, you have to frequently go to keep yourself presentable. So that creates another major challenge. I really think you should be able to write it off on your taxes. You know, if you have to assimilate, then they should pay for us to have to do this. And we should have time off, but that's a whole other conversation. beyond that, you know, it just may be, if folks live in certain neighborhoods, it may not be as welcoming. Like, there may not be sidewalks, there may not be other people running. And so it may just be kind of culturally, we may not see each other running a lot unless you live in certain places. But if you go to certain places like Martha's Vineyard, stuff like that, like we had a 5K. And so it kind of depends on, I think, the community that you're in. And if you're seeing people physically active all the time, that's going to inspire you to do the same thing. But some folks live in places where it's just too challenging. It's just not as inviting in terms of sidewalks and things like that for running.
Green spaces.
Green spaces. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's challenging.
It's really interesting, though, because, you know, I think about the big mamas and aunties, and of course, every now and then I do a little bit of dabbing in the kitchen myself. But so I can imagine. So then changing our food preparation and our eating habits will make a big difference, because, you know, again, I think about, you know, like for my mother-in-law, I mean, she loves making really delicious biscuits. And when we would put together the collard greens or what have you, you know, we put a little bit of that fat back in there or some bacon, but you know, we got to change our eating habits. We got to change how we do that preparation. Cause I ain't nothing like a good little piece of fried chicken, you know, with a little bit of macaroni cheese. But you're saying for our community, though, I mean, that's how we were born and raised. I mean, it's like it's a social environment. I mean, because I think my family growing up, we celebrated my birthdays and all that almost every month. We got a we got a party to go to because, you know, it's always somebody, you know, celebrating a birthday.
Graduation birthday.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we've got to make some changes. And it's so important that we expose our young people because we need to really, when we think about it from a generational perspective.
Model it, yeah.
You know, that's exactly right because, you know, the baby boomers, I mean, that's how they lived. But then we got, you know, I'm not quite sure. What's the latest generation? What do they call now?
Generation Alpha?
There's Gen Z is like the 20-something.
Okay, 20-something.
Gen Alpha is like my daughter's age.
Yeah.
And then this year is now the beta. Beta babies.
Uh-huh. I did hear of beta.
I'm big on generations.
Wow.
Because beta just started with 25, right?
25, yeah. Beta.
Wow. So, of course, so of course, your daughter and, of course, our daughter, they're very similar in age. So then they're a part of that alpha group. But, you know, we've got to make a change for our young people. And so we got to show them how to eat right.
Well, I think, you know, but we were talking before the show and we talked a little bit about, and I'd like for you to kind of reiterate some of the things that you were saying, Dr. Branch. We talked about food as medicine and how that is something not to be discounted.
Yeah. So the American Heart Association, and that's, you know, their big push too. And I think they're a great group. You know, when people were talking about, we don't want to do DEI, this, that, and the third. And I didn't hear much from the medical community, unfortunately, to kind of stand up for us. But the American Heart Association, right when that came out in February, they're like, here's Black History Month. You know, they had an African flag and, you know, they talked about different folks. So I really stand behind the American Heart Association. You know, they stand on business as it relates to celebrating us.
Good to
so
know.
I always kind of, so I recommend, you know, folks visit their website to kind of get tips and better understanding of cardiovascular disease. But going back to your question, what was your main question?
We're looking at food as medicine.
I get on tangents.
No problem. But
I get on tangents and I get on my soapbox.
Good tangents, though, and good soapboxes.
Indeed. But yeah, food is medicine. So that's something that they are promoting. You know, that they're a lot about their really focused on prevention as opposed to just churning out clinical trials. And so one way to really help prevent cardiovascular disease is kind of the most affordable way, which maybe not nowadays, but at least to try to eat healthier in smaller proportions, and just what you're putting in your body can really help regulate your blood pressure and just your overall physical health, and incorporating higher protein and helping with muscle and your mobility. So that's really going to be what I tell patients. That's going to be the biggest bang for your buck. These medications, when you look at the clinical trials, it's only marginal changes that you might see, maybe a blood pressure change of a mean of like 10 or something, you know, between, you know, 150 and 140. I mean, it's a subtle change, but because they have so many people in the trial, they say, oh, it's a significant change. Even if that change may not be clinically significant, meaning it may not be a huge difference.
Wow, so, not even then, clinically significant.
Well, it's clinically significant, but it may, or it's statistically significant, but it may not be, right, it may not be clinically significant, exactly. So, you know, you have to add on many different medications to try to get to these particular blood pressure goals, for example, as opposed to if you have consistent healthy habits, you can really make a huge difference on your blood pressure as opposed to having to be on two and three different blood pressure medications, because they're only make each one is only making kind of marginal benefits. If that makes sense.
And you've got to pay for each one of them.
Got to pay for it, and it's getting expensive, and it's just kind of a mess. You know, when folks, some of these medications are very good, but you know, if they haven't met their deductible yet, they're paying a lot of money out of pocket. And one woman said, well, I'm paying for my chemo, I can't pay for my heart failure medicine.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I mean, this is, you know, this is supposed to be a first world country. It just doesn't make sense.
Wow.
Again, you're listening to How You Living, A Show About Life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg, and we've got Dr. Mary Branch. And here, y'all, we're talking about heart health for us, Black folk, African Americans, Latinos. you know, people of color, we got to really start addressing and dealing with the heart and how we approach it. So let's look at our next approach. And so when we think about some strategies about preventing heart disease, what can we do? You know, if I'm going to go see my Aunt Lulu, you know, what am I going to tell her?
You're going to tell her? So I would say, one, it's really important to know your metrics. So you can ask her, when was the last time you saw your primary care doctor? When was the last time you got some basic screenings, including your A1C? Do you know if you have diabetes or not? When was the last time somebody checked your blood pressure? Do they know if it's in good range? When was the last time you've been on your scale? Do you know how much you weigh? And do you know what your BMI is? Is it a healthy BMI or is it not so healthy? Do you snore a lot and do you stop breathing? Do you potentially have sleep apnea? That can also impact your heart as well. So asking these particular questions and getting a sense of, are you meeting these particular metrics or your cholesterol? Do you know your cholesterol? Do you know what your LDL is, which is that bad cholesterol? Again, getting a sense of these metrics can really help give you a sense of where are you on the scale of healthy and unhealthy, and how can you, what are some things you can do to improve those particular metrics, and then keep following up with your doctor and say, hey, how are you doing with your A1C? How are we doing with your blood pressure? How are we doing, you know, you develop that relationship, you get used to it, you get better at it, you get better at counting your calories, you get better at incorporating physical activity into your daily life, and it can get better. You know, my big thing this year has been intentionality and being intentional about your health. And that requires making sure the doctor's appointment's on your calendar, making sure that your physical activity is scheduled, you know, throughout the week, and also trying to journal what you're eating, things like that.
Mm-hmm. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you listen to How You're Living, because we got people like Dr. Branch talking to us. She's giving us practical things, y'all. So the real deal is you got to know your numbers. It's just so important. Dr. Funderburg, you know, when you think about working with some of your patients and as you deal with their mental health, how does that impact, you know, what you've seen?
Well, you know, the thing that I think I see the most is when there is illness for an individual, especially if it's one of the more severe illnesses or chronic illness, there can be an increased opportunity for things like those common colds that I always mention, depression and anxiety, common colds of mental health. There's more of an opportunity for those things to be more severe. And I really don't like it when I see folks, when I see their depression getting more severe, because that's when things kind of lead to, you know, that helplessness and hopelessness and isolating and then not taking the meds and not going to appointments and not changing habits. And there's just that spirit of giving up that's around them. And that's when my ears are really perked up for what is it that they're saying, what is it that they're thinking about doing. So, you know, that statement that Dr. Branch made of your heart attack at 50 started at 30, I think that's what, if we can grab on to that, and if you're 50 right now, okay, well, whatever might happen at 70 or 80, that started when you're 50, right? So the whole goal is start now. And I think sometimes the things that people will see when they start to learn their numbers, like you were just talking about, when they start to see what the scale says and what that A1C is and what that LDL is, and they say, oh my goodness, I didn't know it was this, everything that was high or everything that was supposed to be high is low and everything that was supposed to be low is high. That can feel like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. Well, I should have done this. Everybody told me do this and that, and I didn't do it. Well, it's over for me now. It's not over for you now. You can make shifts. And I think that's the thing that my goal is to connect people with hope so that they can go to see a Dr. Branch, or so that they can go to see their primary care physician, or so that they can go to their psychiatrist and or their trainer or their nutritionist or whomever the professional will be, so that you can make some of these shifts and then go on about your business and lead a great life.
And you're not doing it alone. I mean, you have a team. You know, maybe in the past you did a lot alone, and so it feels daunting, but you know, mm-hmm. as you get older, you get that trainer, like you said, or nutritionist or therapist, and you work with them and you work with your doctor too, to say, hey, you know, how can we as a team work on this? And we'll check in and, you know, we'll keep with this relationship. So, you know, you're definitely not alone, and you can do it with your family, you know, talk about it and yeah. talk about how you're feeling about your weight, and don't keep it in, because a lot of people have similar struggles, and, you know, you can mm-hmm. work together to make it better.
So, Dr. Brentz, again, my last question. I know we got about a minute or so.
Okay.
So for somebody like me, I'm a couch potato. I'm overweight.
Okay.
What? Okay. How much of my aerobic activity do I need to start doing? If I'm you know, if mm-hmm. I start today, tomorrow, for mm-hmm. those couch potatoes out there, what do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Well, one I would come up with, I'm using this from Noom, kind of think about what your why is. What is your why? Is it for your mm-hmm. daughter, your grandchildren? What is your why? What is your okay. incentive? Do you have a hot, you know, you're going to plan a trip to Mexico? Hey, you want to look good in, you know, your little outfit. So that's why I was at the gym for an hour today.
Wow.
So, you know, having incentives. So for somebody who's, you know, sees that the American Heart Association recommends 150 minutes of exercise, moderate, and 75 minutes of vigorous, that's really, really daunting. So mm-hmm. what I would recommend to start with is just start with 5 minutes after dinner, just going for a walk. It can be fun. You could play some music. Mm-hmm. I always have like a full party. I go back to college, you know, when I'm running on the treadmill.
Oh,
go back to those days with my music mm-hmm. and have a lot of fun. And it's just a nice way to just check out of everything that's going on. And just start with 5 minutes a day, or most days after dinner. It could be a nice way to connect, mm-hmm. nice way to walk with the baby. The baby can get some fresh air. Mm-hmm. Just starting from there. And then if you get bored with that, you just kind of build on to that. But I always just say start small. 7 minutes a day, 5 minutes, and then just kind of go up from there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Funnemaker, I guess you and the baby, we're going to be out there. We're going to do that thing.
Do you have a little party?
I'm ready.
That's all right. Yeah, that's right. All right. All right.
I'm wrecked.
Yeah.
So, you know, gosh, our time always just seems like it elapses so quickly. What mm-hmm. I feel like I have gotten here is we just wanted to start taking some baby steps, y'all. Start taking mm-hmm. the baby steps and ask yourself, mm-hmm. what is the smallest thing I can do to start going in the right direction, and do that small mm-hmm. thing consistently for, you know, however long you need to, a week, 2 weeks, a month. Let's not make it, you know, 2 years of your smallest
right.
step, but
right.
then take your next smallest step, then the next mm-hmm. small step, then the next small mm-hmm. step. And then before you know it, you will have gone much further than you ever anticipated. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you all, it's happened already. Our time is up. So thank you so much, Dr. Brentz. We appreciate you being
Anytime.
Here. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll call you back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. It's helpful. And we're going to call you back. Don't worry.
Yeah.
If any of you all out there listening have comments or questions, make sure that you message us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. And please join us again next week for How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is a sole property of WNAA FM HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FM HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.